Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, First Thing First listeners? It's your boy, Shea Sharp, co-host of FS1's Undisputed. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shea Shea, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shea Shea, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shea Shea is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shea Shea now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now, back to First Things First.
First things first, why is Steph Curry saying teams still badly want to beat the Warriors? Is Drew Brees staging a return for his 21st season? I thought the guy retired. And the Dallas Cowboys are laughing at a Dak for Russ trade. With that, we say good Monday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall, Kevin Wilds. Nick, did I miss the joke? Why are the boys laughing?
Well, I don't know. I find it laughable that they find it laughable. We're all going to be laughing this morning. That's an outrageous thing.
That's good. I like it. All right, we'll get to that in just a bit, but we got to start in Milwaukee. Bucks, little Clippers. This was a fun one. Back and forth all game long. All the stars played. Giannis played like the reigning MVP, 36 points. Bucks played like the reigning defensive team of the year. They held the Clippers scoreless for the final 4 minutes of the game. Somewhere out there, I heard Nick laughing all the way up there in Harlem. Big win for the Milwaukee Bucks. That is five in a row if you're into counting. Nick, what was your biggest takeaway from this one?
My biggest takeaway, Jenna, was I was told when the NBA released their second half of the season schedule that the playoffs were starting later than usual. But it turns out the playoffs for the Clippers started last night. Because yesterday afternoon, did that look like a Clippers playoff game. You got a lead in the fourth quarter. And then what happened? Kawhi and Paul George. Clang, clang, clang. How many clangs were there? Nine in a row? 0-9 down the stretch for those two fellas in the final 4 minutes as the Clippers went scoreless. Brandon, your pick to come out of the West.
Yeah.
They have APG named Paul George. They need an actual PG, meaning a point guard. And until they get that, they're going to have some problems at the end of games. As you saw, Bucks team that nobody believes in. Nah, they can't finish. They can't do anything. Just absolutely roughshod over the Clippers at the end of that game last night or yesterday afternoon, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Playoff P, it definitely started. I don't think it had anything to do with Kawhi, right? Like, look at Paul George, 2-for-10 from three-point line, 33% overall. That's a problem when you're going against a team that's hungry, a team that's on fire, a team that's been counted out because of what they did on that run in that stretch, on that losing streak. So, to me, it was more about the Clippers and Paul George than it was the Bucks, because the Bucks last night, that was their best shot, Nick. Like, to me, when you watch that game, they played phenomenal. Defense, their energy was there. The 1-2 was there. You had Giannis hitting from the perimeter, hitting from three. Giannis getting into the paint anytime he wanted. That's the thing that the NBA figured out this year was, let's not let Giannis get in the paint. If we do that and we turn him to a three-point shooter, perimeter player, we have a chance. Middleton was okay, Kevin. But at the end of the day, that was the Milwaukee Bucks' best shot. The Clippers, that wasn't their best shot because you had Playoff P rear his head, and that's a problem. If Playoff P can come back to playing how he was this year, they'll be okay because he's having a phenomenal year. Just can't let this happen.
I still can't figure out if Playoff P is a compliment or an insult. It seems to change depending on every year. All right, Nick, this did have some playoff feel to it. Giannis, in like rare form, there was a strategic intensity that I really liked out of Giannis. First of all, played 40 minutes. I know you're the minutes police. And look at this. You know things I hate, injustice and business decisions. Giannis is like, no way, dude, get out of here. This is a fourth quarter play. It proves costly. Their game was close the whole time. If Giannis missed those free throws, he'd be like, don't worry, guys, I blocked this one. So congratulations. The next part of this sequence here later on is this strategic intensity on the second to last play of the game. We've talked a lot about, hey, who takes the last shot? Giannis doesn't have a real go-to move. What are we going to do? And it's like, hey, we'll just pass the ball. One, two, three, four. This ends up being five passes, and Giannis is dunking the ball from the three-point line. Unstoppable. Great job by Giannis. And no one wants to talk about it, but Nick, as our resident statistician, I'm gonna give you some stats here as we talk about the MVP conversation. If you want to think about your vote, Giannis is averaging 29, 12, and 6 and getting no MVP talk. LeBron, 25, 8, and 8. Oh, it's got to be the MVP. Got to be the MVP. 25, 8, and 8. Well, Giannis is 29, 12, and 6. I know we got the narrative for LeBron, and I know no one wants to give Giannis three MVPs, but he should be in the conversation.
No, he should
well, he's not. He's not in the conversation.
Stop it. Nick, don't
he's
entertain
not in the conversation.
That.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Brandon. Go ahead. And then
no, Nick, don't. No, no, you can respond, but please don't entertain that. Please, no. Why? He's winning five games in a row, and all of a sudden, Giannis should be back in the MVP?
Well, listen, the Bucks are a half game out of first or a game out of first in the East, and Giannis's numbers are spectacular, but he's not eligible for the MVP this year, and everybody knows it. You can't win back-to-back MVPs and not make an NBA Finals and be eligible for it. That's just the rules. If I were an official voter, then maybe I could tweak the rules. Those are the rules, Wilds. Look them up. But if we can,
not the rules.
And by the way, I want to say something about Giannis. No, they literally are the rules, Wilds. You should look it up. He's ineligible. It's happened to Steve Nash. Steve Nash. Look at me here, Steve Nash, after he won back-to-back MVPs. Steve Nash won back-to-back MVPs, never made an NBA Finals. They're like, okay, you're ineligible from now on. Also, speaking of playoff P, if you look at the Giannis dunk, at the end of it, you have playoff P looking to the refs, saying, where's the travel call?
Yeah,
blaming
travel.
The refs, a playoff P, playoff P staple. But everyone's going to talk about, Brandon, about how Giannis ended the game. I want to go to a sequence in the second quarter for a moment that shows you what he could be. Because he's great. He's one of the four best players in the league. But because he doesn't have the shot, there's a ceiling to him. So this is in the second quarter. He brings the ball up the court. They build a wall.
Ooh,
he's
nice.
A willing passer. That's a layup. So that's one. That's the first play. And you can watch it again. They're like, stop him, stop him, stop him. Now you get an open layup. The next time up the court, they're like, all right, we can't build that wall because then he's going to find somebody. Terrence Mann, see what you can do. And what Terrence Mann can do is get dunked on easily. So now they're like, all right, the hell are we going to do? So the next time up the court, they put Zubats on him, and they're like, we dare you to shoot. I'll give you 8 feet.
Bang.
Brandon, if he can, and I know we've been saying this for 4 years.
Yes.
If he can just become passable at this shot, he's unguardable.
Right.
Because that is the only way to guard him when he's bringing the ball up the court, is to step off him by 8 feet. But he's not a passable shooter most nights, so that is what has happened to him in the playoffs. This is not a tough shot, the one there, but he's got to become passable at it.
But yes, but at the end of the day, now Middleton is your two, and that's not enough. You do not have enough offense to beat the Nets. I'm sorry, but if Middleton's your two, he's having a phenomenal year, he's playing lights out, and they have great chemistry, but it's not enough, Nick.
Well, the only caveat I would put to that, because I also don't think the Bucks are going to win the East. I think the Sixers are going to win the East, but that's a separate discussion, is they did get Drew Holiday back. Drew Holiday was the big offseason addition. He's been out with COVID protocols for weeks. And so he didn't play big minutes last night. He wasn't the big reason they won. But I do wonder what Drew Holiday is going to be able to help them with come playoff time. And so I do think we need to see them at full strength a little bit longer. And by the way, the Nets, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the East, Brandon. The Nets might end up with a first-round matchup against the Miami Heat. They might. No, I'm just saying, like, the Nets got to worry about round one before we even talk about round two and round three. Right, the Nets got a lot of things on
their plate. However far you think the Bucks are going, they won last night. 5 in a row for Milwaukee. Chris Broussard will join us in a little bit to talk more about that. We got to talk some Dallas Cowboys now. Why are they laughing? They're laughing at the idea of trading Dak Prescott for Russell Wilson. Laughing. Why? It's next. First things first.
Hey, first things first, listeners. I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead. Download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports. Plus, a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, just a click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
Why are we talking Cowboys? Not because they finally signed Dak Prescott, because that would be hilarious, but because at least it appears like they want to. Last week, Russell Wilson listed the Dallas Cowboys as a team he'd be open to be traded to. Well, according to a report over the weekend, Cowboys find a Dak for Russ swap, quote, laughable, citing the age difference between the two quarterbacks and the truckload of the draft capital they'd have to give up. A lot there. So, Brendan, are the Cowboys making a mistake laughing off a Dak for Russ trade?
No, Jenna, you know what I think is laughable is that the Cowboys refuse to give Dak the bag. Pay the man, and you won't have these discussions. If I'm Russell Wilson on the other side, I will be thinking this way, like, okay, well, if it's not going to work out in Seattle, where can I go? Where's the ultimate place for me? And Dallas would be up there. And the reason why I'm considering this is because you refuse to pay him. And that tells everybody in the league what you think of him. But look, Russell is the better quarterback. Russell is the better leader. When I talk about leaders, because Russ is in the category where there's only a few people. When you talk about all of sports, he's awesome. But you don't go and get rid of Dak Prescott. That is your guy. You did a phenomenal job. That's your legacy. You drafted this guy in the mid rounds. You did the work. You did the due diligence. And you helped develop him. So why would you get rid of a guy that comes in and there's only 5 quarterbacks that have more wins than him? You got Drew Brees, you got Brady, you got Big Ben, you got Russ, and there's another quarterback out there, Aaron Rodgers. Those are the 5 guys that win the way Dak wins. So you double down on this guy, but you start with paying him, Nick. If we wouldn't be having this discussion if you pay him. What's the big deal, resident GM?
Yeah,
you
well, tell that's, me. That's the thing, though. They haven't paid him, and so this is a discussion, and I'm going to double down on the hilarity. I find it laughable that the Cowboys find it laughable. Here's the deal. There is one team in the league that should laugh off the idea of trading their quarterback for Russell Wilson. My team, the Chiefs. And that's not me being a Chiefs homer. That's the reality of it. Now, if you want to say a team like the Chargers wouldn't be interested because Justin Herbert's a decade younger and so much cheaper, fine. Right. I'm not saying every team would trade their quarterback one for one for Russ, but there's only one team that hangs up the phone and doesn't have the conversation. That's the Chiefs. Everyone else should have the conversation. And for the Cowboys, when clearly you guys are in a multi-year stalemate over what Dak finds his value to be and what you find his value to be, well, then maybe you're not ever going to actually agree. And Dak is going to be a free agent a year from now because you're going to franchise tagging him again this season. To me, Wilds, this is one of the rare instances that everyone could win. Dak could win because he would finally get the contract he feels he deserves and a team that clearly wants him. Russ would win because he would be with a team that is going to be on the marquee, more nationally televised games than any team in the league, and weapons galore. Pete Carroll would win potentially because you go to a super low maintenance, awesome game manager, which seems to be what he wants Russell Wilson to be. And Jerry Jones would win because he doesn't have to negotiate a contract anymore. Russ is locked in on a contract that if it's traded becomes actually below market value because Seattle would have to eat the signing bonus. So I see win. So Wilds, until the Seahawks declare we'd never trade Russ or the Cowboys sign Dak, to me, this is going to be an A1 story day after day.
Okay, but Nick, don't you think that the media, us on this show particularly, want to have it both ways? Because anytime an organization flirts with another quarterback, like, oh, what are you doing? What are you drafting Jordan Love for? What are you showing up at this guy's pro day for? Why are there rumors that you want Tom Brady on your team? The Cowboys are handling this perfectly. They should release a video of them actually laughing. We know they love Dak, and they just want to support him. While every other team out there is trying to alienate their quarterbacks, the Cowboys are like, we didn't get the deal done, but we love you. Jerry Jones, like, we treat you like family. And here's the other thing. When you look at their numbers, and I know that we put Russ on a pedestal, you know, go Badgers, I'm all for it, but their numbers aren't that crazy different, Brandon. Like, this is not the upgrade that I think, you know, just on paper, that I was shocked to see these numbers. I don't think it's as big as an upgrade as I think the media wants to make you think it is.
Brandon, let me jump in for 1 second, because I got to just push back, because Nick and I have been on this show from the very beginning. We've had this conversation before. Right. I keep hearing over and over how much the Cowboys love Dak Prescott. But and I love to hear people tell me they love me. I want everyone to tell me they love me, but at some point I want you to show me. At some point I want you to pay me or give me the due respect or something, because it has now been years upon years of off seasons that we keep talking about how much Jerry and Steven love Dak, and yet show me the money. Show me how much you love me and trust me. Even after his injury last year, they were like, Dak's still our guy. If Dak is still your guy, there would be some sort of here, this is what we'd like
there'd
to offer. Let's get that conversation going. And
contract.
We haven't heard it. No contract. Yeah, Nick, no contract still.
You know,
I'm tired of the words now.
Nick, you know who Jenna is? Jenna is Andre Johnson. When Jenna speaks, everybody need to listen, right? Andre Johnson just sits back and he's super cool and chill. And then when he speaks, I'm like, what? You got to listen to him. Yeah. He's right, man. Get the deal done and we wouldn't be having this discussion. But, Wiles, to your point, if everything is equal, okay, you're going into the fourth quarter, 2 minutes to go. You're down by 7 points, 6 points, whatever you want to throw up there. Who are you going to hand the ball to, Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott? And to me, I'll answer that. I'm going with Russell Wilson. So to me, he's the better quarterback. So you can throw the numbers up there all you want, resident statistician, but Russell is the best.
First of all, Wilds is not the resident statistician. Wilds is the resident.
Out of the two.
He perverts the numbers. Yeah. This is the second segment in a row.
Resident pervert.
Pardon me. He's been like, hey, Giannis's numbers versus LeBron's numbers. Oh, I think Giannis is clearly better when no one thinks it. And then Dak versus Russ, he's like, they're the same guy. So 2 points. One is, it is very, well, here's another fact. You were looking at that while Dak was not one of the 40 highest paid quarterbacks in football and had the talent around him according to that, right? You were looking at Dak the 4 years of his rookie contract. I don't think anyone believes that if from 2016 to 2019, you flip-flopped Dak and Russ's situations and you put Dak in Seattle with that woebegone offensive line and average receiving core and non-existent star running back post-Marshawn, and you put Russ in Dallas with Zeke, what was a great offensive line and eventually a very good receiving core, that their numbers would still be the same.
And the defense was
Jenna
playing well in
right.
2018.
Absolutely. And Jenna is right, though, that, the Eagles drafted, who'd they draft? Jalen Hurts. But they had just given Carson Wentz $128 million.
Extension.
The Packers drafted Jalen Hurts, but they had just given Aaron Rodgers $140 million. The Cowboys keep writing love letters to Dak, and they won't put a ring on his finger. So until then, there's going to be speculation of how much do you actually love me. Jenna's got that spot on.
Get the mayors involved.
Get it, Beyonce.
Get the mayors involved. Everything's be good.
Get it. All right, let's switch gears. Time for Knicks NBA medals. Devin Booker scored a season-high 43 yesterday, and the Suns beat the T-Wolves. Still no medal for Booker, which means
and
three guys did it better. Nick, who are those three guys?
Yeah. Well, and good weekend for Booker because he became an all-star because Anthony Davis is out and he has the big game, but he doesn't get a medal.
Bradley
Beal gets our bronze medalist. 46-5-7. Now I'm going to pretend to be Kevin Wilds for a moment. You know, Nick, the numbers suggest the worst thing Beal can do is score 40 points. They've lost 11 in a row when he scores 40. If he only would have scored 39, maybe they'd have won. Bradley Beal, 46 points in a loss. Silver medalist. Brandon's best player alive breaks out of his three-game slump with 42-13-6. Unfortunately, it's not enough to beat those devastating Cleveland Cavaliers.
Really good.
Oh, look, Jared Allen. I
really
wonder a team that could use him. Gold medalist, the Greek Freak, 36-14-5-4. And that dunk right there not only won them the game, but that dunk right there also outpaced or outscored Kawhi and Paul George combined in the final 4 minutes of that game. Just that dunk did it. It was great. So there it is. There's your podium. Jenna Wolf,
I think it's
a great podium. I gotta say it's a great podium.
All right. I would imagine Wilds feels like somebody was left out.
Look at this pass from Robert Williams to Jason Tatum. Look, if you play basketball, the ball occasionally bounces off your head, right? You got an errant pass, okay, maybe you're in the dunk contest, Steve Nash style, trying to headbutt the ball. Maybe someone bounces the ball off your head. Never in the history of organized basketball have I seen a ball bounce 30 feet in the air off of a gentle pass. The ball's out of the screen. So either Jason, this ball is overinflated, or Jason Tatum needs to quit basketball and join the Premier League and become the best headballer in the history of the sport.
How do you find
that
anything,
when it's hollow or when it's full? I can't tell. Let's talk some Golden State Warriors now. What prompted Steph Curry to say the teams are still gunning for Golden State? We'll tell you next. First things first.
Steph.
Hey, First Things First listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we can all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to First Things First.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome back. Lucky us. We got Chris Broussard with us now. Broussard, buckle up. We're running the fast break here. Lakers ended their cold streak, picked up two wins over the weekend, beat the Blazers Friday. Then they blew out the Warriors yesterday. Broussard, are the Lakers once again the best team out West?
Jenna, the Lakers never weren't the best team out West, all right? When healthy, with a healthy Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder, they remained the best team in the West, at least. And we were certainly waiting for AD to get healthy, and we'll see him back. Now, if you're asking me if without Anthony Davis, as they're currently constructed, they're the best team in the West? No, I wouldn't say they're the team to beat. I would take the Clippers. For all of their late game problems, I think the Clippers are better than the Lakers if Anthony Davis is sidelined. And then Utah is right there. So
No, they're not the team to beat without AD, but with AD and LeBron and Dennis Schroeder, Lakers all the way in the West.
Guys, I don't know about any of this. This Lakers hype. I feel like it's time to ask. Nick, are you worried? Are you finally going to admit you're worried about the Lakers? They had a bad week of basketball. Hey, guys, you know another take that I think is going to age beautifully? The takes from all over media last week. Is LeBron James being selfish by playing for his team? More on that all day, every day. LeBron James, does he care more about his fifth MVP than his fifth championship? And why that is why he can never be greater than Karl Malone, let alone Michael Jordan. More on that later, I'm sure, as well. Oh, wait. So it turns out, once they just got their third best player back, they're going to start mollywopping teams again. They just couldn't do it with LeBron plus Kuzma and Markieff Morris. Man. Yeah, Brandon, I think they're just fine. Yeah. You get Schroeder back, you whoop the Blazers, you whoop the Warriors. I think they're fine.
Are you celebrating those two wins? Is that what we're doing? We're celebrating the Blazers and the Warriors, teams that are just barely getting by, a little bit above 500. That's what we're going to do? Please. They look terrible, man. LeBron looked tired. They couldn't hit a shot. They couldn't play defense. That four-game losing streak. So I'm shocked that they bounced back this way. And to answer your question, Jenna, look, they're the team to beat because they're the team. They won last year. So everybody has to go through them. But at the end of the day, the West, and Chris, you don't have to be bold. I'll be bold for you. The Clippers are the team to beat. That's the team in the West. The Clippers.
Stop it. Stop it.
Wow. What about my old buddy Donovan Mitchell seems to be playing pretty well. Nick, I buy the hype. I understand your narrative. But as I feel like I'm the concerned grandmother of the crew, I'm still very, very worried about Anthony Davis. I know there's never any reason to be worried about LeBron's workload. I get it. And I don't buy the narrative that he's being selfish or gunning for his MVP, even though his numbers are really even close to Giannis's number. But I still continue to be worried about Anthony Davis. Anytime the word Achilles is even in the air, I'm nervous about it. So I'm still far more nervous than everyone else on the crew. I'm going to get a little cardigan.
I agree, Wilds. Let's see what he looks like when he gets back. All right, so after yesterday's loss to the Lakers, Steph Curry had some interesting comments on teams still having a little extra motivation when playing Golden State. Listen to this.
Draymond said it a little bit at halftime. We have to remember that even when we're playing well, we won three in a row. You know, teams still want to beat us and beat us bad. They still have, you know, a lot of memories from the last 5-6 years.
Oh, that's so good.
Really nicely. Hey, Broussard, what do you make of that one, Steph?
He is absolutely positively correct. I mean, do we remember how the Warriors absolutely ran through the NBA? They whipped LeBron twice in the finals, beat him another time in the finals. They won 73 games. They were, yes, this is payback. And last year didn't matter because Steph wasn't there. Now you got Steph there with all his shimmying he was doing. Draymond with all his talking. Teams are loving this. Think about this, guys. You rarely get to beat up on a team that was a dynasty. The Jordan Bulls left intact after their championship years. The Showtime Lakers, Kareem left after a trip to the finals. Magic left after a trip to the finals. Shaq and Kobe, they parted ways after a trip to the finals. Even same thing with the Miami Heat Big Three. Their last year together, they made the finals. It is rare that you get guys in their prime who were a dynasty on that team, and now you get the chance to slap them up. Oh, they're loving this. I wouldn't be surprised to see an opponent do a shimmy in Steph's face one of these days.
Oh, nice.
Oh, Chris. This was a salty reminder of how great they were. This is, you got to read between the lines. This is Steph Curry saying, guys, I don't have Klay. Guys, we are beat up right now. But don't forget what we used to do to you boys and what we're going to do next year when Klay come back. If you read between the lines, Nick, this is actually Steph Curry talking trash.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to have to read between the lines. And Wilds, I'm also going to have to read a history book because Steph said the last 6 years. So I'm just going in back my memory. Is like, okay, is he talking about last year? No, they were the worst team in the league last year. Is he talking about the year before last year? No, because they lost in the finals in six. Is he talking about the 73 win year? No, because they had the biggest finals choke job ever. See, he's talking about the year they beat a team whose second and third best players were Dellavedova and Mozgov. No, I don't. It's somebody's talking about. Oh, he's talking about the two titles they won, and that best player doesn't play for him anymore. Yes, teams would love to give it to the 17 and 18 Warriors, but that team does not exist. And when Klay comes back, that team still doesn't exist. You know what this Warriors team reminds me a lot of? The Warriors teams, Wilds, that used to wear these horrific jerseys. That's mediocre at best. Try to peel an 8 seed. That's what this team is. So, Steph, I know it's just the truth, Wilds. Show me the lie.
No, they should.
Show me the lies.
You know what? You're right, that's right. Until Klay comes back and Draymond is out of the game, they should wear these jerseys. They should just wear the old Warriors jerseys until they're back. Then they can wear their normal Warriors jerseys. Like, these are the dynasty jerseys. This does remind me a little bit of my Patriots, to be honest with you. I get a little bit nervous. But here's the other thing. At least I want to see some Bradley Beal performances from Steph. The last three games, Steph and LeBron, if we can show you the numbers, two point totals in the teens here. So, Steph, at least, like, light up the scoreboard with the L. You don't have LeBron,
Can I defend Steph real quick on that? You showed Steph versus LeBron.
Sure.
At least Steph has all those iconic finals head-to-head moments again. Oh, wait, he doesn't have those either. That was KD. Okay, never mind.
You mean when he averaged 28 points a game?
It's a good point.
That's not
I don't know. Hey, I'm not sure. I'm not.
There's someone who didn't score in the teens last night. LaMelo, 24 and a career high 12 assists in a Hornets comeback win over the Kings last night. Draymond was up watching. He tweeted, LaMelo is a problem. See, that's a good tweet. It's short. Mm. It's to the point. It's like four words. That's how you tweet. Broussard, has LaMelo exceeded expectations during his rookie of the year campaign?
Oh, heavens, yes. I mean, this dude is the truth. 20 points. 7 assists, 6 rebounds over the last month. Oh, on 41% shooting from 3. Nobody thought he could shoot when he entered the league. He's hitting 40% from Trey over the last month. Props to Michael Jordan and the Charlotte Hornets for bringing him along slowly. They put him on the bench to start the season, made him earn his starting job. Now he has, look, this guy is a future star, and he's got flair and panache to go with it. I like it. I love it.
Panache. And also props to me, panache. Because the day after draft night, I came here and said, the Wolves and the Warriors are going to regret not taking him number one overall. So, now the Warriors want to talk about how great he is. You should have took him number one overall. He is a problem. The other guys, Anthony Edwards and James Wiseman, they're really good players. But this kid is great.
Yeah, he's not exceeding Brandon's expectations because Brandon did say that the day after the draft. I picked him to win Rookie of the Year, but I didn't expect quite this. How about this? He has a chance to be just the second rookie that I could find, certainly in the last 40 years, to lead all rookies in points, rebounds, and assists. Right now, he leads all rookies in everything. And he's doing it for a somewhat frisky Hornets team. He's spectacular. Yes. And by the way, speaking of the Warriors, it's not quite, team building isn't quite as easy as having Kevin Durant just choose to come to your team. Got to hit on these draft picks, turns out. Maybe they had number two.
Yeah,
who
they
knows?
Didn't do them before that. Did they draft Steph and Klay?
What do I know? I think they wanted to trade Klay and Jerry West crossed them. I don't know.
We're going to talk about the recently retired Drew Brees. What's that? Drew Brees not retired yet? Seen pushing a sled through a parking lot like an NFL player? Is Drew Brees eyeing a return for a 21st season? It's next. First things first. God, even I don't do that, Brandon.
He's just working out.
Everything.
That's it.
March 10th through March 13th, the Big East tournament tips off at Madison Square Garden. Will Villanova take the conference crown? Will Creighton or Seton Hall rise up? or will a Cinderella team emerge? So many questions, all the answers on Fox FS1 and the Fox Sports app starting March 10th. Check it out. All right, talk some football. In fact, let's talk Drew Brees. The guy we all assumed to be retiring after 20 years in the NFL was seen pushing a sled during a workout. Now, as a very successful workout person myself, that is not something you do when you're just out there for a casual sweat. You're not pushing sleds through a parking lot for your, Saturday workout. So what are we missing here? What? Tell me. We got Super Bowl champ and fellow workout guru guy, Greg Jennings, with us now. Greg, are the Saints better off if Drew Brees retires or returns?
They are simply better off if Drew Brees retires. This is what they would hope he does, is retire and just announce his retirement so that they don't look like the organization that's trying to push out a Drew Brees, a Hall of Fame quarterback. That would be ideal. However, it doesn't look like Drew Brees is going to make it easy for the Saints. And yep. I understand that. When you're a player that has played as long as Drew Brees, you feel like you can do a little bit more, especially ending the way he did, if he does decide to continue to play. You see a guy like Tom Brady, a quarterback that puts you out and your team out, and perform and be within a situation that was so fitting, and all he had to do was just not turn the ball over and not be the reason why your team lose. And Drew Brees was that. And so that leaves a bad taste in anyone's mouth. And so I could see him trying to come back. But when you have Sean Payton already brewing things up for Jameis Winston and others, it just seems like Drew Brees would be better suited to just go off into the sunset. He's had a phenomenal career. You got Michael Thomas lobbying for Russell Wilson on social media. These guys are already believing that Drew is done. And so you come back, and sometimes you can wear out your welcome.
Greg, you know better. This isn't Brett Favre in Green Bay. Drew Brees got you. He got you. Can we show that video again? He got Greg Jennings. He got so many other people. This is exactly what he wanted. The dude took a pay cut so he can make it easier for his team. So watch this. Jenna says that this isn't normal, but I would challenge Jenna to say this is maybe a CrossFit workout. This is Gen Pop type workout. Watch this. Here's how he got us. Look who he's working out with. He's not working out with Alvin Kamara. Look at Brenda in the back. Look at Jennifer in the back. And that's Tommy, the insurance broker. Now, if he was working out with athletes, like football players, then I would say he's possibly coming back.
Four did it.
Drew Brees, did you see? All you got to do is watch the video and see who he's working out with. So, look, here's the deal. It's hard to replace greatness. Drew Brees is the man. Everything goes through Drew. I remember being down there. We have an 8 or 9 a.m. walkthrough, and I walk into the locker room. Alvin Kamara's to my right. You have Mike Thomas to my left and also Mark Ingram. And I'm like, hey, guys, it says 9 a.m. on the schedule, on the itinerary. Aren't we supposed to be going to walk through? And all three of those guys will look over to the other side of the locker and be like, is Drew here? Nope. Okay, keep the music going. Drew Brees runs everything there, so that gives you consistency. It's hard for them to move on from him. But at the end of the day, Nick, they need a fresh start. They need somebody that can come in, get the ball down the field, and just try something different on the offensive side. Everybody knows what they're doing. It's too predictable.
Well, listen, it's odd to say they're better off if he retires because they don't have an obvious replacement. Jameis is not locked up, and Taysom doesn't play quarterback. He pretends to play quarterback. So it's like, well, do you want to go from one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks ever to unknown? But the answer is you need to go to the unknown. And now I've been very good in my career about never telling someone to retire, except for Tom Brady, who should quit now. Honestly, Tom, enough. But everyone else, play as long as you want. Akeem on the Raptors, no problem. Patrick Ewing on the Sonics, Emmitt Smith on the Cardinals. They wanted to keep playing, good for them. If he wants to keep playing, then good for him. But the question is not what's better for Drew, it's what's better for the Saints. And while what's better for the Saints is for Drew Brees to retire and for them to finally be able to turn the page, because they've been trying to squeeze an extra year out of the run of Drew Brees the last 4 years. They had a bunch of heartbreaking playoff losses, and they never got back to the Super Bowl.
Okay, so why hasn't he retired yet? No one's told me. Because Philip Rivers is like, hey, calls up his buddy from San Diego. He's like, ah, I'm out of here. Like, okay. Jason Witten announced. He's like, well, you know what? I like retiring so much. I'm going to retire for the second time. I'm going to sign a one-day contract with the Cowboys. I'll retire in March, but I'll tell everybody. And the Pouncey brothers are like, hey, let's hold hands and jump in the pool together. We're both out of here. So why hasn't Drew Brees retired? It's retirement time. And Brandon, I understand as a, you know, maybe I'm not invited to House of Athlete. Maybe it's the pandemic. Maybe you don't have my email or my text. But to say that he's working out with normal people and disparage people who like to work out just because we're normal. Well, let me show you the backup quarterback, how he's working out. This is the type of great workout that your old buddy Kevin Wilds can't do. Some sort of kettlebell jump around thing here. And then it gets, saying it gets worse. It gets more kettlebell unique jump around, when Brandon. We look at the when we look at the football drills, footwork, Brandon, I know I'm a general population guy, but I think I could also do the quarterback workout, hold the ball as a guy hits me with these the big
can
green.
Can we see this quarterback video? There it is.
Yeah, there it go. So
Jameis, every offseason,
that Drew Brees workout didn't look
Jameis has some unique type of workout. This is unbelievable. Why does the guy need boxing gloves on? All you're doing is pushing soft bags. Jameis, come on, man.
It's just more intense.
You got to get over these off-season workouts, man.
It actually doesn't even look more intense. Go ahead, Nick.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, for me, I get it.
Go ahead, Greg.
Go ahead, Nick. For
okay,
me,
I'll talk.
I get
no
it.
Problem. Nobody. I got it. No problem. Here's the thing on Jameis. I would feel better, no matter what his workouts look like, Greg, if they had him under contract. But I think Jameis is oddly going to be a sought-after free agent, and the Saints are in cap hell, and they gave $16 million contract to their H-back. So for all those reasons, like I don't know if it's as simple as Jameis wants to, like, they want Jameis, so he's going to want to be there. So I don't think they have a very clean transition, but unless they're going to try to go single wing with Taysom, which maybe is the plan all along.
Single wing. Whoa. The single wing. Whoa.
Yeah, and I think even when you watch the video, yeah, Brandon, he's training with mom and pop and whomever, but you put the video out there for this reason and this reason alone, because you're smart enough, you've been in this league long enough, you want to create that buzz. You want to see how it takes off, and you want your team and your organization to kind of know, I'm still training, even though it looks a little different, I'm still training. And with the fact that he hasn't made the decision, I think that might be a reason why they haven't gotten something done with Jameis Winston. They're still trying to make sure that Drew Brees is going to walk away.
He got y'all.
Let's take a turn, talk some Cowboys. Why are they laughing at the idea of trading Dak for Russ? Last and answered next. First things first.
Love it, Wild.
I'm all in. Let's bring Greg Jennings back with us for a little drawing a blank. Question, Greg, can you see J.J. Watt as a Buffalo Bill? Because that could happen very soon. The Bills are emerging as one of the top contenders for the free agent. Watt's expected to make a decision this week. This could happen. Brandon, J.J. Watt on the Bills would be blank.
Not enough. Look, this team needs defensive linemen. They need guys up front. They need defensive ends that can get to the quarterback, that can hold the edge. But J.J. Watt wants to win the championship. And here's what I saw in the playoffs. When you saw the Buffalo Bills take on the Kansas City Chiefs, they don't have high football IQ on the defensive side. Patrick Mahomes was able to drop back and just pick them apart, going zone, got them out their game plan, made them play man, and that's where it got really ugly. So I don't like this for J.J. Watt. They will win and dominate the division, but when you get into the playoffs and you're trying to get to the next level, you have to go through Nick Wright's Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, this is, to me, nonsensical. If you want to go to a cold weather team, go to Green Bay. Like, why? Yes. Has anyone, if you don't care about market size, go to Green Bay. Has anyone ever said, you know where I want to spend the next phase of my career? Buffalo. No, they haven't. Sorry, Buffalo. I lived in upstate New York. It ain't great. Just ain't. And if JJ doesn't care about that, then go play with your brothers. And if you just want to win a championship, go play with Kansas City. It's like, what are we doing here? What am I missing here? Why would he pick the Bills? No one has answered that for me. I'll believe it when I see it. But to me, Greg, it's nonsensical. There's too many other alternative options.
Yeah, I figured you guys were going to be on that side, so I didn't want to pile on. So I just said it would be respectable simply because the Buffalo Bills are a contender. I don't think it would work, Brandon. I'm with you. It would not be enough, but because it is J.J. Watt, because he would raise the level of play, I believe, of the guys around him, this could be very respectable and more respectable for the Buffalo Bills versus J.J. Watt.
Okay, I'm going with Blue's Clues. If you can show the picture that J.J. Watt posted recently over this weekend. Oh, two dogs in the weight room. I do not want J.J. Watt to pick any team for months. Just keep on putting this out here. Our researcher Dusty's like, oh, dogs, that means he's going to the Browns. And then someone else like, if you look at the rogue weights back there, those are the Steelers colors. Oh, but look at the red. Oh, Wisconsin headed back to Green Bay. So whatever you do, J.J. Watt, eventually we want you to play for a team. Packers probably the best. You'll come back home to Wisconsin. But no reason to make any decisions. Just keep on drip, 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 driving these Easter eggs for us.
That's fantastic. All right, on to Tampa Bay. Number of big names from that Super Bowl team set to hit the open market. Browns are reportedly interested in Levante David as a free agency looms. But, Brandon, the Bucs' most important free agent to hold on to is blank.
Oof. They have some big decisions to make, but they can get it done. They have everything they need to get it done. They can restructure Tom Brady. They got, what, the sixth, seventh most cap space in the National Football League. So I'm going to go with this guy. 20 years old, had 19 and a half sacks in 2019, 8 sacks last year, 4 sacks in the playoffs. This is a dude that can dominate and just disrupt everything that you're trying to do up front. And that is Shaq Barrett. You got to find a way to keep Shaq Barrett on one side and JPP on the other. If you can do that, you can put anybody backside because these quarterbacks don't have time to throw. So I absolutely love Shaq Barrett being a priority.
I'm going to go with a different defensive free agent. I think it is Levante David. I think one of the what to me impacted that Chiefs game in an underrated fashion was the way David and White had such elite speed and instincts in the middle of the field, taking away those intermediate routes and taking away everything from Kelce early. So I think you have a very unique linebacker duo in David and Devin White. I wouldn't want to disrupt that. I think maybe you can find a pass rusher, and Shaq Barrett's going to be super expensive. So I'm going to say Levante David.
I'm 100% with you, Nick. Levante David, in my opinion, you can't replace that. The leadership, the IQ, what he allows you to do with Devin White and free him up and him become a pass rusher as well at the linebacker position. But even to add on to what you said, his ability to cover, like he was matched up man-to-man with Travis Kelce, arguably the best tight end in the National Football League. And he did a great job. Levante David is the heart and soul of this defense. You can't lose him.
Okay. Right. So I agree with Brandon. I think it's Shaq Barrett. But I'm going to throw a wild card out there. I also think it's sneaky AB. AB only played 8 games. He had under 500 yards. He caught 4 touchdowns. He felt like he had an outside presence, but we know Tom Brady loves him. Only played 1 game in New England with Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady wants to keep all his weapons, and we still haven't seen that AB went for 1,300 yards, 1,500 yards, 1,700 yards in a full season. I want to see AB, a full season of AB, and I think Tom Brady wants to keep his weapons.
All right, let's head to Baltimore now. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens reportedly, quote, far apart on a contract extension. The former MVP's got 2 years left on his deal, currently slated to make just south of $2 million in base salary for 2021. Brandon, Lamar and the Ravens reportedly being far apart on an extension is blank.
Showing their hand. I mean, they shouldn't be far off. Like, you know this. You know the market. The market is this. Here, what's the top five guys, and where do I think I belong? All right, this is a guy that won the MVP just 2 years ago. This dude is phenomenal. He's the face of the NFL. You keep doubling down and saying, no, we're not going to change our offense. He fits our offense. This is our guy. We absolutely love him. So when you look at it, you have Patrick Mahomes here at $45 million. And the second guy is Deshaun Watson at $39 million. So you can't be that far off unless you think a couple of million is that big of a deal. So if you really think that Lamar Jackson is your guy, he's probably going to fall somewhere between $41, $42 million. And are you willing to pay that, Baltimore? I don't know.
Before I give my answer, can we go side by side with Brandon real quick? I don't know if that's possible, but I just wanted, while you were talking, I was thinking about something. We talk about, you know, Russ for Dak. You say Pete Carroll wants to run the ball. I mean, if Baltimore doesn't want to give him the bag, a little Russ for Lamar, he can run the ball all you want, Pete Carroll. He can just keep running. Just run it with your quarterback, run it on first down, run it on fourth down, and all of a sudden Baltimore has Russell Wilson. I know that wasn't on his list. They got great seafood. It's a good area. You can get to New York City easily. Sierra, just something to think about. Okay. Now, they do. Baltimore's an underrated city. People just think of The Wire. It's got a nice little Bay Area. All right, now to the answer. Logical. I think it's logical because my heart says I want Lamar to get all the money he can as early as he can, because he does play a dangerous style of football, exposing him to so many hits. But as Brandon mentions all the time, my brain, which thinks I'm a NBA and NFL GM, both jobs, just different times a day, says, I might wait to pay him if he wants $42 million. We got him this year. We got him next year. We got the franchise tag. I might wait. Like, I'll offer you something, but $42 million's a bit rich. So I understand why the Ravens are hesitating a bit, Greg, even if I hope Lamar gets his money.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nick. This is business. You have him under contract for two more years, so you have the luxury of waiting another year and watching him either progress or stay the same and making sure that this is your guy. I know when I say that, people are like, what? He has to be our guy. But when you start talking about contract extensions, you have to make sure that, you know what? I want to stay in this marriage.
Sure. He won an MVP.
That's what I'm saying, Brandon. If you're going to wait before you give me my money, I'm going to be in Lucite. I'm going to be like a baseball card that has to remain in mint condition. Don't run me a bunch of times, and I'm not going to try to run for all these yards. You put some weapons around Lamar and let him throw the ball from the pocket. He plays a very dangerous game by design because they haven't given him enough weapons. So I think they need to sign him immediately. The huge contract.
All right, let's switch gears, talk some hoops. After originally expecting KD back before the break, Steve Nash announced that will not be the case now. Said, quote, "We're all disappointed. Anytime you have the Lamborghini in the garage, it is meant to be on the road." So, Brandon, KD remaining out till after the break is blank.
Jenna, man, terrible news. This is dangerous. Not for the Nets, but for the NBA. You got Kevin Durant resting? Oh, my goodness. Let's go, Nets. That's all I got, Nick. Everybody's in trouble.
That tricked me. I like
that. Yeah, so Brandon. This is going to make me so sad because we've been down this road before, and the road is the road traveled by last year's Clippers. The answer's Clippers 2.0. All year last year, the Clippers had an obvious flaw, no rim protection, no point guard. People were like, no, they'll be fine. All year last year, it's like, well, they could be really good. We'd like to see them play together. No, don't worry about it. They'll be fine. And then they flame out in historic fashion. All year this year with the Nets, it's like, well, aside from that whole defense thing, this team's awesome. And, you know, it would be nice if their team actually got to play together some, but I'm sure they'll be fine. They're not going to be fine. We've seen this story before. I, once again, will be the canary in the coal mine trying to alert people of the impending disaster, and no one's going to listen to me. Clippers 2.0. Just wait and see, Greg. Just wait.
Don't forget their makeup. Mental makeup.
I'm going to be waiting. I'm with Brandon on this one. I just think it's smart. You don't put a Lamborghini on the road if the conditions aren't what they need to be. Period. You keep that Lambo in the garage.
I love it, Greg.
Preach.
Preach, Greg. You hear what he said? If the conditions aren't right.
Here's the problem, though, Brandon. I wouldn't bring KD back until he's 110%. He got off to such a hot start. We were like, Achilles, what Achilles? Who cares? Oh, he's playing great. Load up the minutes. Take it easy. Keep the Lamborghini in the garage. And by the way, you got two Lamborghinis because Kyrie's shoulder just missed a game too. So I think I'm with Nick here that there's a little too much smoke and I'm a little bit nervous. Sorry, buddy.
Oh, wow. You're supposed to be the wild one.
Time for Knicks NBA medals. All right, you got Devin Booker. What a night. 43 for a season high yesterday, and the Suns beat the T-Wolves. So why no medal for Booker? Nick, who you got on the medal stand?
Bronze medalist Bradley Beal, 46 points. But if Bradley Beal scores 40, the Wizards lose. NBA record, 11 straight losses when he scores 40. But he was awesome. Not his fault they lost, even though he had a bad turnover at the very end of the game. Silver medalist. After a three-game slump, Joel Embiid breaks out of the slump. Unfortunately, it's not enough to beat those dominant Cleveland Cavaliers as Embiid goes 42-13-6, but they lose in overtime. And a gold medalist, Greek Freak. 36 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks, game-sealing dunk, outscored the Clippers as a team 17-10 in the final 8.5 minutes. There are, Jenna Wolf, your medal winners from this weekend. Two guys that lost, plus Giannis. There's your medalists.
I like it. I would imagine, Wilds, there's someone just on the fringe who missed the cut. According to our graphic.
Okay. Look, if you play a little basketball, the ball occasionally bounces off your head. An errant pass, maybe you're in the dunk contest like Steve Nash, maybe you're in an and-one mixtape video and someone bounces the ball off your head for effect. I have never seen a ball bounce higher than it does off of Jason Tatum's head. It was a light pass, and the ball bounces 30 feet in the air. So look at poor Tatum. He should be in the concussion protocol. Well, I don't know what happened if the ball's inflated or Jason Tatum should go to the Premier League and start becoming the leading goal scorer.
The Dallas Cowboys had a very interesting reaction at the possibility of trading Dak for Russ for Dak for Russ. Wait till you hear it. It's next. First things first. Greg Jennings, thank you, as always. Time now for stories to start your morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. We're talking Cowboys now, not because they finally signed Dak Prescott. That's hilarious. But because at least it appears like they want to. Last week, Russell Wilson listed the Cowboys as a team he'd be open to be traded to. According to a report over the weekend, though, Cowboys find a Dak for Russ swap laughable, citing the age difference between the two and the draft capital they'd have to give up. Apropos of nothing, they both have one-syllable names, so that would work out. Brandon, are the Cowboys making a mistake by laughing off a Dak for Russ trade?
Look, Jenna, the only thing that's laughable is that they haven't gotten a deal done yet. Dak Prescott, there's 5 quarterbacks that's won more than he has since 2006. That's Brady, Breeze, Big Ben, Russ, and Rodgers. So why haven't you paid this guy? Like, you're about to pay more for a guy coming off of a devastating leg injury, season-ending injury, than you would have if you'd have just signed him a year ago. So this is the only thing laughable is that the Dallas Cowboys just handling this situation all wrong. You have your guy. You went out in the mid rounds and found someone, a jewel, and he came in and just start playing lights out. So you should have doubled down a couple years ago. Now, Russell Wilson is the better quarterback. Let's not get it twisted here. Russell Wilson, game on the line. Who are you going to give the ball to, Nick? Are you going to give it to Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott? Who do you trust? Look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie. out of anybody in the National Football League, you can even go back in history, Russell Wilson is the most clutch quarterback out there. But this is your guy. You make sure that you make everybody happy because the grass isn't always greener on the other side. The way they do things in Seattle is totally different the way y'all do things in Dallas. So make sure you get this done and everybody be good.
Yeah, but listen, in sports, there is a very clear, and I'm agreeing with you, Brandon, but there's a very clear way to tell someone you love them. You give them an extension of their contract. You pay them accordingly.
Yes.
And the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, for seemingly as long as this show has existed, have not disagreed about whether or not they wanted to stay together, but have disagreed about what the player is worth. Dak has set his value at X, and the Cowboys have set his value at X minus something. And as long as that delta exists, there is going to be room for discussion about whether or not Dak Prescott long-term is going to be with the Cowboys. And that clock is ticking. Because if the contract doesn't get done this offseason, then it never gets done. Because if they franchise tag him again, then he is a true, free and clear free agent, and every team in the league can bid on him. And for that reason, along with the fact that I believe Russell Wilson is the clearly superior player, this is a trade that I think both teams should be having meetings about. The Cowboys would say we would lock in cost certainty with a better player who actually all of a sudden would be on a very reasonable contract because his signing bonus would be paid. Seattle would be saying Russell Wilson seems to be unhappy. His maintenance level is going up and up. We could replace him with a younger version, a similar player to the one we won a Super Bowl with, young Russell Wilson, who is going to be fine with running the ball repeatedly and doing the Pete Carroll system. Wilds, I think this trade makes sense for everyone involved. And until Dallas locks up Dak, it's totally reasonable to say they are okay with flirting with other quarterbacks, most notably a future Hall of Famer like Russ.
See, I disagree with you, Nick. It is very reasonable, but it reminds me of a famous Lil Wayne line. Real G's move in silence and don't alienate like their lasagna. Franchise quarterback for no good reason. It's what we saw with Jalen Hurts. It's what we saw with Jordan Love. It's what we saw with Jimmy G kicking when the 49ers kicked the tires on Tom Brady. The deal is not going to happen. So why would Dallas flirt with it? Just to upset Dak Prescott? Just to have leverage over them? The negotiations, I wonder what's happening behind closed door, in public, it's been all love. Jerry Jones like, oh, I'm going for it without Dak's like going for it without Stephen Jones. And Dak Prescott's on Instagram with a Cowboys hat saying like, howdy, Cowboy, I'll be back. Don't worry about old Dak Prescott. So for me, it makes sense that they're laughing this off. And Brandon, Wilds. I know everybody wants to say, oh, it's there's the obvious that there's that Russ is so much better. Dak's numbers are almost identical to Russ. I'm not saying that he's a better quarterback, but it's not light years away.
Well, let me just jump in real quick because I want to throw Wilds. You said something very interesting. You said don't flirt with Russ because it's not going to happen. You alienate the quarterback. My question is this: why is it not going to happen? If Seattle thinks they are losing Russell Wilson mentally, they're not going to do better than Dak Prescott as far as staying viable right now for contending. And for the Cowboys, if they're worried about losing Dak Prescott in the offseason for nothing a year from now, they certainly aren't going to do better than Russell Wilson. So why are you just dismissing that this could actually happen?
I just don't think it's going to happen. So I don't think it's a nice conversation, nice narrative. Do we actually think it's going to happen? I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know.
Look.
I don't think it's
your gut.
Listen.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Right. Look, so Russell Wilson, I mean, he's in an interesting spot. If I'm Russell, I am looking at the Dallas Cowboys as a potential suitor because they haven't gotten a deal done. But if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm not looking in Seattle and saying, oh, this could be a great opportunity. Richard Sherman isn't there. Earl Thomas isn't there. And I can go on and on and on. The Legion of Boom is gone. So Dak Prescott needs to figure out how to get this deal done with Dallas this year so what happened last year don't happen again.
I'm less and less convinced that's going to happen. We got to go. See you tomorrow. Undisputed starts right now.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.